All right. Thank you. How many of you are going to Christmas lights? Who's going to Christmas lights? Good. How many of you want to go? You want to go. And I got a little cash in my pocket, and you would ask someone out here, guys asking girls, okay? Guys ask a girl, okay? You would ask somebody, I'll pay your way. I mean, I go back to the school. Brother Hassie's cubicle is right next to mine. I'll drop a check in there, and I'll pay your way. Anybody want to ask someone here? You can ask somebody else's girl. It doesn't matter whether she's taken. Maybe she'll want to go with both of you. I don't know. You want to ask somebody? Come on up here. Come on up here. What's your name? Joey. How you doing, Joey? Good to meet you, man. I like that. Wow. Were you that big when you were a kid? Help us. All right. You got somebody in mind? Can I get a mic here? There we go. Do I have a piano player here anywhere? Where do I got a piano player? Do I have a pianist? Give me a pianist up here, please. Go. Come on. You play? You look like a piano player. I know. Come on up here. Laura, give me some love music. Give me some banquet music. You better hope this girl says yes. All right, come on, give me something. Something from Lion King or something. I don't know. I'm joking. I don't watch those things, all right? Are you ready? All right, Joey. Anything, come on. What do you listen to? Oh, you're like a Spanish guy. You listen to La Bamba. All right, now, let's go. Come on. All right, go ahead. Don't ask me. Hang on, let me get away. Hang on. You're getting too comfortable there.
Isabella, I've known you for like 2 years.
Oh.
And it's been a great 2 years. Yeah, I'm going to ask you in front of everybody. You can come up here.
Come on up, Isabella. Come on up. Isabella, come on down. You're the next contestant on Ugly Date. Let's go. Wow, very Christmassy. Wow. You ready, Isabel? Now remember, this is a date, not marriage. Don't get down on one knee, all right? All right, go ahead. Wow, Laura, I almost want to dance with that. That's good. Jared? I'm joking. All right.
Would you give me the honor of going to the 2010?
That's Christmas why he's wearing lights. The grade school sweater, right? Answer. Yes. Success, yes. Joey, let me get your last name afterwards real quick. And Isabella. Not too many white girls named Isabella. How many, anybody in here have ADD? Anybody? Good. Anybody got ADHD, everything, all right? Okay, good. Anything but HIV, all right? Now, I forget. I'm at HB. Remind me, I'm at HB, all right? I have ADD, like massive ADD, all right? I have been known to get in my car, start driving home, and wind up in Chicago and ask myself, how did I get here? I have no clue. But I have ADD. So as I'm preaching, you're like, man, that guy started with one story and finished with another. Don't worry, okay? I need my Ritalin. My ADD is kicking in and so on. Now, you all have a game tonight, right? New Jerusalem? By the way, I will tell you this. I've spoken in New Jerusalem, and they have a phenomenal ministry. It's like, it's a little bit like CB up on the north side, or actually in Cicero, Illinois. But that's awesome. Good luck. I hope you do a good job tonight. And but I want you to listen to me. We're going to follow up talking about owning your faith. Now, does anyone here go to the Spanish service on Wednesday nights? Okay, did you hear me say the same thing I said in chapel yesterday? All right, well, never mind. This is different, okay? All right? I saw some of you back there going, yeah, I heard this. All right, so I want you to listen today, all right? Is today like gum chewing day or something? Man, I missed it. Every day we get to chew gum in chapel? Oh, I want some. That's a great idea. You got some gum? long. Looks like a pack of cigarettes. Drake, you make me bend over. I'm too old for that. All right. Did I drop some money or something? I'm like, why is everybody's mouth chewing? Now I know. Don't pop your gum in front of me. Now, I know, I shouldn't have said that. Because whenever someone in my services, you have to understand my teen services are really different. It's not like a real church. It's like a church on steroids, a church on crack. You know, it's different. Whenever a girl in my public services pops her gum, I tell her to knock off her mating call. That's what I call it. Girls that pop gum in public, that's your mating call, okay? So knock it off. I shouldn't, you know, just like a preacher. You say something, you know, scared of something, they'll do it. You tell them not to do it, and they're going to do it. So thanks for the gum. Fresh breath. All right? Now, that's a great idea. I got to do that at school. That's good. My kids probably want to smoke instead of chew gum, but turn your Bibles. Going to talk about owning your faith, part two. Now, let me tell you how I came across this subject, how I came across this idea of preaching about owning your faith. I came across this by realizing that in my own personal life, I still have a long way to go. I have a long way to go. Let me tell you something. You know, sometimes looking from the pew up to the platform, you're thinking, oh, those guys have it together. Or, man, I could never be like that. And sometimes us sitting up here looking down to the pew, we're thinking like, oh, man, wish we could be there again. Man, wish I could start over there again. Man, wish I could be a junior or senior again. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, more than I care to share with you. I've been in trouble. You know, I was not your typical goody shoes kid. All right? My teachers in school, my last name is Torres. My teachers in school called me Ricky Torment. That was no joke. That was my name. When I first went to City Baptist High School, they had a principal. His name was David Klingensmith. Now, that name probably doesn't mean much to you. However, do we have a student here named David Klingensmith? All right. David Klingensmith was a former linebacker. He played professional football, I think, for a season or two, and then he blew a knee out. And he was a good Christian man. He was actually, I think, a football coach at Hammond Baptist or something, and then he went to City Baptist to become the principal. He would stop me at the door every morning there for a little bit and would say, come over here. He'd say, go to my office. I'm thinking, okay, great. Come in, go to my office. Go to the office, and he would say, now I want you to put your hands on the desk. I don't know how y'all don't paddle, do you? Right? You? We don't paddle at City Baptist. We beat, all right? So we pull out the canes. And he would say, okay, take your hands, put them on my desk. He'd say, look at my picture of my wife and my family. And this keeps crackling, I'll change it. But he'll say, now take a look at a picture of my wife there, my family. And he would give me three swats before the day started and would say, now that's a reminder. If you mess up throughout the day, you misbehave, you're going to get some more. Now, I would see his wife walking in church, and just by my seeing her there at church, I'd jump. I'd associate her face with pain because for, I don't know, probably a semester every morning, whack, 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 boom, you know. And I'd see Mrs. Klingensmith, and I thought, oh, man, here we go. Here comes the paddle. So I was an ADD kid. I was all over. I've broken so many bones in my body for just being stupid. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, just being stupid. You know, my brothers and I decided one time in Chicago, there was a real heavy snowfall. I think it was back in 79. It was a huge snowfall. Really, I mean, below zero, bitter cold weather. And so we decided we would take a sled up to the roof of the house. The pitch on the roof there was probably about 35, 40 feet high. And it had these great snow banks right off the side of the house. They probably went up 12 feet. Wind had blown them over. And we thought we'd go up there. And so we climbed up there and we took the sled up to the top of the roof there. And we were sliding down and all was cool. It was great. Time and time again, we climb up and slide down, climb up and slide down. Except on about the third or fourth try, I caught the side of a chain link fence. And I had the side post go up the side of my cheek. Have you ever had a broken cheek? It hurts. It hurts like nothing. I mean, you feel like your face caved in, you know, and I broke my cheek. And then another time we were, you got to understand this, living in the city, all the garages are close to each other. So you go garage hopping. What does that mean? You just climb on one garage and you see how far you can go down. I was doing that. Well, I was doing great, you know, moving. And I missed one. Boom, there, cracked my head open, you know. I remember one time, a kid, I'm Puerto Rican, and I got to keep reminding people that. You know, sometimes it's like, you white? No, I'm not white, okay? I am Puerto Rican 100%, all right? I'm imported. And one time, a kid called me a pork chop. I don't like being called pork chop, all right? Now, you know, sometimes if you're Mexican, they call you one thing. If you're whatever, blah, 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 all these racial little names that they give. And so they called me, a kid called me a pork chop. And so I held off and I punched him and I knocked a couple of teeth out and I broke my hand. Well, I was playing in a baseball team that summer. And that summer on a grounder, I had broken another a finger in my left hand here. So I was terrified to tell my parents one more time I had another broken finger, broken hand. So I never got it fixed. About 6 months later, I went to my dad. I'm hurting. Oh, you know, my hand hurts. And he said, well, come on, let's go to the emergency room. Well, I forgot. They have things called x-rays. And my dad took me to the hospital, and they x-rayed my hand, and they said, when did you break your hand? And I said, yesterday? They said, no, your hand's healed. Said, most of your bones in your hand are healed. Said, and I looked at my dad and said, did you break your hand some time ago? No, it was yesterday, I promise. Well, how can you lie against an x-ray? So the doctor broke my hand again, set it in place. And so I was forever always either getting in trouble, getting hurt. You say, have you ever been in the back of a police car? Which one? Which city? Absolutely. You know, and now I've never been in jail, thank God. I'm terrified of jail. And so, but I was just one of those kids, you know, I was little, always having to do something, always busy, ADD, you know. But back in my day, we didn't have those, you know, Black Ops and Mortal Kombat. What do we have? We had Atari, all right? We had a little Atari game console with Pong. Bing, bang, bang. And we thought that was exciting. So if you have ADD this morning, if you have a hard time following, join the club, all right? I'm your man. Take your Bibles, John 6:67. Let's go through and review yesterday real quick. I said, and I'm going to talk real fast because I got to run out of here and I got to go do chapel at CB. John 6:67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? I said yesterday that is probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Will ye also go away? It's sad because Jesus there is realizing that the men that were closest to him, the men that had meals with him, the men that saw him do the miracles, the men that were his key go-to people, even they came to a point where they failed him and their faith failed them, or they failed their faith. I said yesterday that we get our faith is given to us either through a godly heritage, and that is many of you in here. You have a godly heritage. I said yesterday that some of you, your faith was brought to you. Somebody came and won you to the Lord. Somebody brought your family to the Lord. And then the last one I said, some people, they come to faith because of a need. And that's great. And it's awesome. We have RU programs for drug addicts. And we have all these programs. But how many times have I come across the path of a person who came to Christ because they were at their wit's end. They were at the end of their rope. They had made so many mistakes in their life, they finally said, okay, God, you know what? I will give in. I've not known any other faith but the faith that I know now. When I was a kid, my parents went to Catholic church, but they were what I call wedding and wake Catholics. If there was a wedding, they'd go. If there was a wake, a funeral, they would go. But they weren't by any means, quote-unquote, religious people. At the age of 8 years old, I told you I came to First Baptist Church and I got saved. There's not a lot of things I remember. I do remember getting saved. I remember one thing about getting saved. I got saved in the Pathfinder department. For real. Now, I don't know if they thought I was retarded or what, but I remember I got saved in the Pathfinder department. And I remember it was that building right back behind the Jack Hiles Memorial Auditorium, and it was upstairs. And I remember the man who won me to the Lord. His name was Dave. Now, it's incredible how I can go back 36 years and remember that single event, but I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. I can't remember how to get here. I can't remember how to get there, but I remember getting saved. I remember realizing that I was a sinner, that I was on my way to hell, and that I needed a Savior. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4:10. 2 Timothy 4:10. Now, you've done an awesome job listening. I appreciate it. And you guys, you want to say amen, you can say amen, all right? No one's going to bite you here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Read this with me. We're going to use a lot of scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Read this with me, please, if you've gotten it already. Here we go. Ready? For Demas hath forsaken me. Stop right there, because I'm going to... Demas was, I believe, one of the Apostle Paul's helpers. And you know, can I be honest with you? For you men that you help your youth pastor, you men that help teachers, that help principal, can I be honest with you, as a youth pastor speaking to you, one of my greatest hurts is to have a young man or a young lady that's been a part of our lives, my wife and I, to leave us. You don't understand. I don't think you have the understanding of what a big hurt that is to us. God did not put us in front of you to babysit you. God put us in front of you so that you could follow us as we follow Christ. And eventually, when you're done with us, you continue following Christ. Boy, I've had many a long night of weeping and crying and begging God. I've had many a time where I've gone and knocked on the door and the door's not been opened or the phone's not been answered, where I just wish I could bring back a Demas in my life. Now, many of you, you're very connected, whether it's through a coach or a principal or through a youth pastor. Before you decide that you're going to walk away, yes, you'll hurt your mom and dad, and no one will suffer it more than mom and dad. But can I tell you something? You will not realize the hurt that you put on your leaders. Can I ask you to do something? Don't be so ungrateful that you can walk away and not think at least of those that have invested in you. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus, and Dalmatia. Now, sometimes I read this, I'm thinking, he loved this present world. What was in that present world for him to love? There weren't laptops. There weren't video games. There weren't cars. There weren't, you know, bright lights. What in the world did Demas leave his leader for? For more walking? For a boat ride? I mean, what? He left this present world. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about you will become one of three different types of people regarding your faith. Yesterday, I told you where we get our faith from and what you ought to do with your faith. I said, when you own something, I said, you appreciate it. You want to tell everybody about it. You want to show it off. You want everybody to see, you know, whether it's the car or whatever you have. You want everybody to share it. You want to share it with everybody. And I said, likewise with your faith. You ought to talk about it. You ought to protect it. You ought to care about it. You ought to show it because it's your faith. It's yours. Not anyone else's. It's yours. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Read this with me, please. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There's going to be some of you, and you're going to fall away. And I'm going to say something. I'm not trying to get anybody in here to doubt your salvation. This is my opinion. This is not Bible. This is Brother Ricky's opinion. 30% of you are not saved. Say, where do you get that number from, Brother? I have preached enough with teenagers. I've preached in enough services where I know that there's young people that hang on. Young people that say, nah, you know what? I'm just not ready. Young people that say, no, you know what? The devil lies to you. And the devil says, you know that if you get saved, you got to change. You know that if you get saved, you got to stop doing that. You know if you get saved, you got the wrong friends. You know that if you get saved and you know you got stuff in your life, you got a music in your life, you got an attitude in your life, you got a language in your life that you got to change. And listen, I know that for the most part in here, everybody's, you know, saved, but it may not be 30% here. But when I preach, whether it's here or when I preach in other churches or whether I preach in my services at First Baptist Church, 30% of those kids who we come in every week, they come in, they go out, they return, are not saved. Now, the Bible says that there's people that went out from us but never were of us. They never were. Take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Kind of go all over here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. You say, where are you going with this? I'll tell you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. I don't think I'm a really good preacher, and so I got to write everything down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. I appreciate your listening. I appreciate you looking. I appreciate you looking involved. By the way, you know what? I'm a very happy person in Christ. You know why I love my faith? Because I chose my faith. I own my faith. Let me tell you something a lot of people don't know, and I don't like to talk about it because then and people get stupid and start asking a bunch of questions. Did you know that up until 1996, when Brother Hiles called me in and asked me to go work at City Baptist Schools, did you know that I had no plans of being a full-time Christian servant? I've never been called into ministry. I've never been surrendered into ministry. Brother Eddie was my youth director, if you would say that. He preached B Church for 26 years. And so I was in B Church with Brother Eddie Lapina all those years. I probably spent more time with Brother Eddie Lapina on a weekly basis than anyone at First Baptist Church. On Sunday morning, I'd spend 3-4 hours with Brother Eddie up in the Sunday school office and then in Sunday school and so on. I traveled with Brother Eddie when I was a young man in my 18, 19, 20, 21. I would drive Brother Eddie to Iowa. I'd drive him to Michigan. I'd drive him to Ohio. And he would always talk to me about his burden that he wanted for City Baptist and for the bus teenagers. And finally, I got to be honest with you, I got into the ministry not because necessarily I was called, but I got into the ministry to fill a need. But let me tell you, prior to 1996, you know, I had a pretty good job. And I was making a lot of money. And I was traveling quite a bit. I've been to a lot of places. I've been to Europe. I've been to Asia. Been to the Middle East. I've been on cruises galore. I traveled quite a bit. I was making very good money. I was an operations manager for Federal Express Corp., the corporation. My office was downtown on Madison Avenue. It was in the Citigroup building. I was doing real well. I was young, making good money, newly married, and guess what? My wife was making good money too. My wife is a pediatric nurse. We were both professionals, two young professionals, loft living in Chicago in a beautiful loft condominium, and life was good. It was awesome. Did we make six figures? Yeah, we made six figures. And everything was awesome. And you know what? God called, or God burdened me, and we left all that. You say, don't you miss that? No. I love what I'm doing today. I love the home I have. I love where I live. I love my wife. I love my ministry. You say, you mean you gave up a bunch of money and career and all that to work at City Baptist? Yeah, and I'd do it all over again. I hope you love what you do. I hope you love who you are. I hope you love the school you go to. I hope you love the parents you got. I hope you love your youth pastor. I hope you love your church. I hope you love your pastor. You're too young to be miserable. Did you know that? I see teenagers sometimes just miserable. I hate school. I don't like Mr. Woodley. I don't like Mr. Hassey. Really? Life is that bad for you? Little pickle face you? Hey, why don't you get happy? Now, there are three groups of people that I've noticed who are going to, you're going to make a move with their faith. Group number one is the group that I call the ones that opt out. You're going to opt out. What does that mean? An option. It's going to be a choice. Now, those who opt out, those who go from us because they were never of us, as the Bible said in 1 John, those who opt out, it's a conscious choice. It's a, you know, I know I went to Hammond Baptist schools, and I know Hammond Baptist believes this way, and I know this is the way they do things, but you know what? Just as soon as I graduate, I'm going to opt out. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to exercise my option, and I'm going to go a different way. There's a lot of young people today that they take their faith and they say, you know what? I know this is what my mom gave me and my dad gave me, but you know what? Now it's my choice. I'm going to opt out. Doesn't mean you're going to leave the faith totally. It means you're going to find a more comfortable faith. It means you're going to find a more comfortable church. It means you're going to find a more comfortable lifestyle. It means that you're not going to be in a place that's got so many rules, and they use the word legalist, and oh, you got so many rules, and you got so many different things that you got to do. You know, just let me opt out. I'm still going to believe in God. I'm still going to go to church, you know, as much as I can. But you know, I really got to go find a place that's a little bit more comfortable. Now listen, you better understand something, that if you start off comfortable in your faith, your children may never have a faith. If you say, well, you know what? Oh, man, I'm out of Hammond Baptist schools. Thank God, man. All them stinking rules. You know, and fellas, you start tattooing your body and you start putting on the piercings and you start, you know, dressing up like the world. And pretty soon, you know, Sunday morning is good, but Sunday night, no, after all, you know, it's football on Sunday afternoon. And man, I sit down and watch a game. And I get so full and bloated and I'm hungry. You know, I get full and, oh, man, who wants to go to night church anyhow? Yeah, and they're going to preach the same thing. And Wednesday, oh, you know what? I'm working. And man, I get off work at 5 and who wants to rush to church to get to 7 o'clock? What happens is you make a conscious choice with your faith to opt out. Now, there's two others. Now, notice I didn't say you dropped out. I said you opt out. What you do is you look for a more comfortable path. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. You better get used to it. If you're ever going to live a separated Christian life, it will never be comfortable. Never. Now, it won't be miserable either. I have a good time. I'm one of those people that when the world gives it to me, I give it right back. I got a big mouth. I'll be on a plane, and you know, I was on a plane coming back from Hawaii with my wife, and this lady was sitting. It was the big 747 where they have like three rows of seats, and they got the big screen TVs in front of you. And so we happen to be right on the two-seater over here, and the lady across the aisle in the three-seater there, boy, she had a little bit too much to drink. Oh, man, and you can she sat down, and she started going, ugh. That wasn't a good thing. Ugh. And I had my Bible open, and she started saying, oh, it's a bunch of garbage. Look over at her and say, would you please shut up? Would you please shut up? Finally, they had to have the flight attendants come and take her, and they took her all the way to the back. I think they tied her up. I'm serious. I think they tied her up and put her away because she was getting so obnoxious and loud. You know, ever so often, you know, kids will, you know, I work a bus route up in South Chicago. And my first week there, gang members came out and said, King Love! Say, what'd you do, run? No, I went right up to them and said, King Jesus, love. I'm not afraid of the world. I'm not ashamed to tell people whom I've believed in. And I'm not afraid to tell the world about Jesus. Not one bit. Doesn't bother me one bit. I'm not one of those, I don't walk out, you know, in my house with sunglasses and a baseball cap and a hoodie, you know, because I don't want no one to know who I am. I'm not Inspector Gadget Christian. I'm not incognito. I want everybody to do it. I want to be loud. I want to be obnoxious. I want to be right in your face. Why? Because I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. It's like you say, HB, man, great. You guys have the best spirit of any school I've ever been to. And it's, oh, HB, you know, blue and white. You got that spirit. Boy, I wish you could transfer that to your Christianity. Those are a group of young people that are going to opt out. You will make a conscious choice You're not going to drop out. You're going to opt out. What does that mean? Make a conscious choice, choice just to be a little bit more comfortable. Yeah, just, you know what, man, not so many rules. Oh, man, preaching 3 times a week. Are you kidding? Can we just go to church on Saturday night? That way we don't got to go on Sunday. Because Sunday, after all, is football in America. You know. Group number two. We read about group number two here. Those who will drop out. Demas dropped out. Now, group number one, those who will opt out, it'll be a conscious choice to be comfortable. Group number two, those who drop out will do so because of sin. Some of you, I hope not many, will drop out of your faith. And in most cases, I don't think you've ever sat down and said, you know what, when I graduate, I'm going to become a drunk. When I graduate, I'm going to do such and such. No, no, no. What happens is you got involved in something. And at first you thought you could hide it and you could control it. And then you thought, you know what, you justified it. And so then you continued in that sin, you continued in that sin, you continued in that sin. Finally, you look back and you thought to yourself, or you will think to yourself, I've gone too far. Why even go back? And you will drop out. See, it's the dropouts who drop out because of sin that say, I'm not going to go back to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not going to go to that church. Everybody's talking about me. Can I tell you something? If you ever drop out of church because of sin, can I tell you something? I hate to be mean, but you know what? We're so busy working with other people that we forget for the most part that you're gone. I hear people all the time, they Facebook me, oh, you know, I'm not coming back to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites talking about me. Really? I forgot you ever left. I got thousands of teenagers. I forgot you ever were here. Not to be mean, I love you and I've worked with you, but man, I got to move on to the next one and move on to the next one. I got to move on to the next one. Now, the first choice, the opt-out crowd, those are the ones who are going to make a conscious choice to be more comfortable and have a little bit more comfortable faith. The second, the dropout, you'll be because of sin. That's why I'm going to tell you this right now. Psalm 25, remember not the sins of my youth. There's young people in here, like the lady in the red hair back there, sweetie. Hey, yo, girly, there, right there. Yeah, there you go with the little, yeah, look at me, talk to me, okay? Don't talk to him, thank you. All right? You want to stand so everybody can see who I called on? No? Okay. You want me to go back there and point? Okay. Yes. You guys are evil. You know that? It's, you're not listening to a thing I'm saying, right? But as soon as I call somebody, yeah, who is it? Who is it, right? It's the girl back there. She's got like a little blue thing, got like a little lime, and she's redheaded, and she's sitting by a girl in the blue, and she's sitting by, I think it's Jonathan, I think, something like that, okay? So anyhow, that's who the girl is, okay? What's her name? Becca? Hi, Becca. How you doing? I love you. Hi. Probably hate me. Are you a senior? What are you? You're a junior? Okay. Somebody said a freshman, right? God demoted. Those who drop out. Let's get back. Only got about 5 minutes. Those who drop out are those who happen to fall into sin. Listen. Going back to the thing I said about the sins of your youth, let me give you a little statement here. The sins of your youth will become the chains of your life. Sins of your youth will become the chains of your life. And by the way, we all struggle with sin. And in a group this large or in any group, we all struggle. All of us have some kind of sin in our life that we need to overcome. Yes, we do. Let me tie my shoe. Okay? I'm not trying to rhyme. Last group. First, those who opt out. We saw them in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Those who will drop out, we read about that in 2 Timothy, Demas, and then the last group. It's maybe the saddest group of them all. Those who drop out and go into sin eventually will come back. They'll get to the point of their life, usually in their 30s, when they say, man, I've got children now, and I'm married, and I need to come back. Those who opt out may never come back to the church, but they'll always feel some kind of a loyalty to be in church because of their upbringing and so on. But here, this may be the saddest group of them all. Those who zone out. Say, what do you mean? They still come to church every week. Come to church every week. It becomes a ritual. It becomes a Catholic catechism. where you come in, you feel obligated, you sit in the pew, but you're totally zoned out. Totally zoned out. Now, those who opt out, they just move on somewhere else, get a little bit more comfortable. Those who drop out, they go off into sin, and eventually they'll come back. But I think the most dangerous of the groups are those who zone out. You're in church, you're driving in the car, and you're just looking out the window like, I can't believe I'm doing this. You go into church, and you sit down. Preacher preaches, and you could remember a thing he said in the last 3 years because you zone out. Now you come, you have your ritual. Matter of fact, the pew has got your imprint on it because that's where you sit. That's where you're going to go. Those of you who are, your world revolves around your friends. Your world revolves around you coming to church, not, listen, to know the person of Jesus Christ. You come to church because church is a place. It's a ritual. It's like the, you know, the mouse in the maze. Doesn't matter where he goes, he's still in the maze. And there's a lot of young people, you will fear God too much to drop out. You will not opt out because you want to stay here. You like it here. But many will zone out. It's the Charlie Brown syndrome. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Chapel, again. Wah, 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 wah. Mr. Hassey preaching. Wah, 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 wah. Can I tell you something? Maybe the most dangerous group. Totally zone out. Zone out. You know what happens to people who zone out? As they get older, they lose their faith completely. They're the ones who start blaming everybody else because they zoned out. Now, where are you today? Are you an opt-out person waiting for graduation day to make your big move, to declare your flag of independence? Are you a dropout candidate? Living in sin, having sin in your life, realizing that the day will come when that sin will cause you to fall away? Or are you the zone out person? Wah, 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 wah. Now tomorrow, I'm going to talk to you about how I had a crisis in faith. Because we're all going to go through them. Tomorrow I'm going to tell you stories. It's a very touching story to me personally. I don't share it much. Matter of fact, I've only shared it twice. And twice people are like, wow, you know, really that happened? Tomorrow I'm going to talk about that because we're all going to have a crisis of faith. And you better decide what group you're going to wind up in. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. It's been tremendous. It's been awesome. Let me ask a question real quick. I'm not going to have an invitation, but how many of you would say, Brother Torres, my desire is to always be a faithful, loyal Christian. That's my desire. Would you raise your hand? That's my heart's desire. You may lower your hands. I'm wondering if there's some young person here would say this morning, Brother Torres, you know, I find myself leaning toward some of those groups you talked about. I see myself a little bit as Demas. I see myself a little bit like those in 1 John. I'm not saying that I'm totally there, but I find myself leaning toward some of those groups that you mentioned today. That's me today. Would you pray for me? And I would. I won't know your name, but I'll pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I love honest young people. Thank you. I love honest young people. I appreciate your honesty. By tomorrow afternoon, I want you to make a public choice or a public decision of where your faith is headed and what you're going to do with your faith. Father God, thank you for a good group of young people. Lord, I just can't get any better. They're good listeners. They're responding. They're doing so well. Father, it's incredible, Lord, how they've listened. And Father, thank you for your word and your truth. And Spirit of God, I don't know who's going to opt out. I don't know who's going to drop out. I don't know who's going to zone out. But Father, I pray you use these 3 days to strengthen the faith of many of our young people in here and strengthen their desire to want to be a faithful, true Christian for the rest of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.